We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest is our sister in Christ, Renee Kilhofer. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm good.
It's good to see you.
Good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll do my best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located a mile and a half west of Tractor Supply in Elk City. Pastors Chasten and Brooklyn Music. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all.
Do you say that in your sleep?
Not yet, but I've almost got it all the way down now where I don't have to look at the notes as much. So,
wait till you wake yourself up saying, Hour Power! I won't go into detail about some of the dreams I've had. It's okay. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. They've never come to pass.
Amen.
Would you like to pray to start us out?
Yes. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we have to just get into your word and to glorify and honor you. And Father, we give this hour to you, and we just pray that the word spoken will be from you, from your words would be on our lips. And I pray that our hearts would be open to receive whatever it is you have for us today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Why Israel Matters.
Yes, in light of everything that's going on right now with Israel, I've heard a lot of people not really understand why it should matter. So I thought maybe we just need to take this time this morning for a little history lesson, because it really is important. And I'm sure that most people have heard about the horrors that happened on October 7th and the war that Israel is now fighting against the terrorist group Hamas, and they are a terrorist group. Mm-hmm. So on October 7th, they broke through the border fences and they slaughtered like 1,400 Israelis minding their own business. In their homes, asleep. It was early in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning. They took another 230-plus hostage. And at that moment, over 1,000 terrorists, Hamas terrorists, breached the border fence and came into Israel. And the first thing they did was take out the guards of the border fence and take out the cameras, so the headquarters could not see what was happening. In fact, the skirmish they heard, they thought was happening on the north, and the north was about to be breached. So they were headed north when they realized, no, it was south at Gaza. Mm. So there was a delay in the response, which allowed even more destruction. But it was just the most horrific attack on Jews since the Holocaust, and it has continued. I mean, these people were tortured, murdered, massacred, raped, abducted. It's just so barbaric, it's hard to wrap your brain around in this day and age. people have been cut up into tiny little pieces so small that their bodies have been delivered to the morgue in a bag because they were just cut up into such tiny pieces. They've found parents handcuffed to, or zip tied or whatever, like tied to their children, burned alive, whole families, babies burned in ovens while the mom was being raped in the kitchen and the father's dead in the living room. I mean, you cannot imagine what, just how horrific it was. It makes you nauseous when you think about it, and it just breaks your heart that someone could do something like that to another human being. And that's what's happening in this war with these Palestinian terrorists. And it's as bad or worse in some cases than the Holocaust. It's by far the worst attack on Israel and the Jews since World War II, since Israel became a state again. This is the worst thing that happens. But the thing that blows my mind is that the world and a lot of the media outlets out there want you to think that this whole thing is because the Palestinians have been forced out of their land and they have to live in Gaza now, and that they somehow have a right to this entire country. And they say the Israelis push them out. They label the Israelis as occupiers and settlers. And just know that that's a lie. Mm-hmm. That's a lie. This war is not about land. So this two-state solution that's being passed around as an answer is not an answer, because the Palestinians don't want a two-state solution. They want every non-Muslim to die, and they want to start with the Jews. They make no mistake about it. They hate us all. Mm-hmm. And so we need to keep that in mind. But since the start of this war, I heard this statistic last night, anti-Semitism is up 500% all Wow. over the world. And that's even in America. Last week, a Jewish man in California was killed by someone from a pro-Hamas rally, a mm-hmm. pro-Palestinian rally. It was happening nearby. He and his wife were Jews. They were holding Israeli flags, and they hit him over the head with a megaphone, and he fell to the ground, hit his head again, and died from just because he was Jewish. Mm-hmm. Just because he was Jewish. There were over 100,000 pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian supporters in a rally in Washington, D.C. last Wow. week. There were over 10,000 in Dallas, Texas. That's our back door. Mm-hmm. Over 10,000 pro-Palestinian supporters in Dallas, Texas. In France, they're painting the Jewish star on the homes of Jewish people. That's World War II. They did that in Germany. They're doing it in France and Germany right now. Wow. As we speak. The Palestinians are marking their homes. In Canada, there was a little second or third grade little boy who was literally beat, kicked. It's on video. He was beat and kicked and stomped on by his classmates because he was Jewish. And the only people in the video interceding, trying to pull him off, were a couple of little girls. You can see these little ponytails and hair bows, like trying to pull those boys off of this little boy who's just crumpled in the corner of the hallway in the school because he's Jewish. That's what's happening. That's what's happening all over the world. And as Christians, we should be appalled. Mm-hmm. And we should be concerned. We need to be praying for Israel. We need to be praying for Jewish people all over the world, for every Christian all over the world, for God to protect his people. And the thing is that it's easy for us to distance ourselves from what's happening because it is the other side of the world. That's the East, we're the West. And so it's easy for us to think, oh, that's horrible, but it's happening over there. But what we're not factoring in is they are here. Mm-hmm. They are here. Mm-hmm. And it only took 1,000 of them to slaughter 1,400 people and abduct 230 and rape and torture in just a matter of minutes. And we had over 100,000 in Washington, D.C. I mean, just do the math. Do the math. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to wake people up to understand why this is important. Because I think there are a lot of people that are asking, you know, why this matters so much. Because there's always fighting in the Middle East. There's always something mm-hmm. going on over there. Has been my entire life, and probably everyone listening is thinking the same thing. So what makes this so much more significant? And I think the best way to answer that question is literally to go back to the beginning and just kind of have a little history lesson of what God says about Israel and the Jewish people. So in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 19, I'm reading out of the Message version. It says, "Then God said, 'Shall I keep back from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham is going to become a large nation and a strong nation. All the nations of the world are going to find themselves blessed through him. Yes, I've settled on him as the one to train his children and future family to observe God's way of life, live kindly and generously and fairly, so that God can complete in Abraham what he promised him.'" So it starts with Abraham. Back in chapter 12 of Genesis, God told Abraham, "I'll make you a great nation and bless you." In chapter 13, God told Abraham, "Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give to you and your children forever. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth." I mean, Abraham's going to have a lot of descendants. So God is telling him, you know, hey, you're fixing to be overwhelmed with kids. So in chapter 15, and I guess I need to back up, because in these references that we've read, these chapters we've read, Abraham's name is actually still Abram at that time. So in chapter 15, Abram says back to God, you know, "God, Master, what use are your gifts as long as I'm childless? See, you've given me no children, and now a mere house servant is going to get it all." God told him, "Don't worry, you're going to have a son." And in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, it says, "And he believed God, and God declared him set right with God." Abram believed, God declared him righteous. So I love this, because even in the Old Testament, they were saved by faith. Mm-hmm. Because Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so Abram was so excited about all that God told him, and especially that he was going to have a son. And so he got so excited that he became a little impatient. And I know in my own life, I feel like God's told me things before that just take way too long. Mm-hmm. And you're almost to this point where you're like, just don't tell me. Just surprise me. Because it gets, you know, our patience wears thin. And so his wife, Sarai, she was also a little impatient for God's promises mm-hmm. to be fulfilled. She wanted to see it come to pass. So she's female. So she decided that she was going to figure it out. Yeah, let's see if I can help God. Women, I think, especially are really good at that. I mean, like, I always have a plan. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I've tried to be aware of that and be better in the last few years. But when I was younger, especially, you know, the Bible says to pray specific. So I would pray that God would do step one, step two, step three, to make my plan work out,
right?
You know, yes. Instead of, God, what is your plan mm-hmm. for this situation? And that's a tough lesson for women to learn, because when we're presenting our plan to God and asking him to bless each step and make it come to pass, and we're believing, we've asked, and he's going to fulfill it because we've had somebody agree with us on this, then we feel like God let us down mm-hmm. when it doesn't come to pass. When really, if we would have been listening, we would have heard God say, no, not doing it that way.
Right.
But we don't listen. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where Sarai was at in Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, because she comes up with, like, the most brilliant idea of all times. It says, Sarai, Abram's wife, hadn't yet produced a child. She had an Egyptian maid named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, God has not seen fit to let me have a child. Sleep with my maid. Maybe I can get a family from her. Abram agreed to what Sarai said.
I bet that was hard for him.
I bet it was, too. Wasn't that sweet? I mean, honey, anything for you. Mm-hmm. So, we know the story. Hagar got pregnant. And from the very beginning, there were big problems. Before this baby was ever born, there were problems between Sarai, Hagar, and Abram. It was a nightmare. And once she became pregnant, she kind of looked down on Sarai, and Sarai became abusive to Hagar in the process, and so much so that Hagar actually ran away from her. But God told her, you go back. He told her that she would have a son, and that son would be Ishmael. He told her she would have a big family, but he also told her that Ishmael would be like a wild horse, and he would be a fighter, always stirring up trouble and always at odds with his own family. Mm-hmm. So she went back, and she gave birth to Abram's first son, which was Ishmael. And I want to read this part to you out of the Message version. This is chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, God showed up and said to him, I am the strong God. Live entirely before me. Live to the hilt. I'll make a covenant between us, and I'll give you a huge family. Overwhelmed, Abram fell flat on his face. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. You'll be the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram, but Abraham. So from here forth, he's Abraham, meaning that I'm making you the father of many nations. I'll make you a father of fathers. I'll make nations from you. Kings will issue from you. I'm establishing my covenant between me and you, a covenant that includes your descendants, a covenant that goes on and on and on, a covenant that commits me to be your God and the God of your descendants. And I'm giving you and your descendants this land where you're now just camping, this whole country of Canaan, to own forever, and I'll be their God. And God continued to Abraham, and you will honor my covenant, you and your descendants, generation after generation. And then skipping down to verse 15, God continued speaking to Abraham, and Sarai, your wife, don't call her Sarai any longer. Call her Sarah. I'll bless her. Yes, I'll give you a son by her. Oh, how I'll bless her. Nations will come from her. Kings of nations will come from her. Abraham fell flat on his face, and then he laughed, thinking, can a 100-year-old man father a son? And can Sarah at 90 years have a baby? Recovering, Abraham said to God, oh, keep Ishmael alive and well before you. But God said, that's not what I mean. Your wife, Sarah, will have a baby, a son. Name him Isaac, which means laughter. I'll establish my covenant with him and his descendants, a covenant that will last forever. And Ishmael, yes, I heard your prayer for him. I'll also bless him. I'll make sure he has plenty of children, a huge family. He'll father 12 princes. I'll make him a great nation, but I'll establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah will give you about this time next year. So over in chapter 21, we see Sarah gives birth to Isaac. Now, at this point, Ishmael is now a teenager. And we've seen, we just saw what God promised his covenant would be fulfilled through Isaac. But you have to remember that Ishmael was the firstborn. Mm-hmm. So he would have traditionally had the birthright because he was the firstborn. But God was like, no, this is Isaac. Isaac is the son that I promised you. You know, you kind of messed up there with, you know, with Hagar or whatever. But he said, I will bless Ishmael too. But we've already heard that God told Hagar that he's going to be a wild horse who can't get along with anybody. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to have 12 sons with that DNA. So here's the beginning of some of those problems. And we saw where God told Abraham, I will give you this land of Canaan, which that ancient land of Canaan is that land of Israel now. So God's telling Abraham, this is your land. So Ishmael was a teenager by the time Isaac was born. And he was kind of mean to Isaac, and Sarah didn't like that. And so she told Abraham to get rid of Hagar and Ishmael. She, like, had had enough. And in Genesis chapter 21, verse 11 through 13, it says, this matter gave great pain to Abraham. After all, Ishmael was his son. But God spoke to Abraham, don't feel badly about the boy and your maid. Do whatever Sarah tells you. Your descendants will come through Isaac. Regarding your maid son, be assured that I'll also develop a great nation from him. He's your son too. So again, God tells Abraham, the promise comes through Isaac, but I'm going to remember Ishmael too. He is your son. So, but he tells him, go ahead and send him away. So Hagar and Ishmael get sent away this time by Abraham. And Isaac grows up, and when he's about 37 years old, Sarah dies, his mom. And Abraham bought a cave and buried her just inside Canaan. Abraham was old now too. He's about 136 years old. And Genesis 24 says that God had blessed Abraham in every way. So Abraham sent his servant back to where he was born to find a wife for Isaac. And the servant found Rebekah, and Isaac and Rebekah married. But in Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, and this is probably one of the most overlooked people, I think, in this story, it says Abraham married a second time after Sarah died. And his new wife was named Keturah, and she gave birth to six more sons. And a lot of people don't realize that. So here's six, another wife and six more sons. And in verses, chapter 25, verses 5 through 6 in the Message version, it says, but Abraham gave everything he possessed to Isaac while he was still living. He gave gifts to the sons that he had by his concubines and Keturah, but then sent them away to the country of the east. Sent them east, putting a good distance between them and his son Isaac. So we've got Ishmael, that who we know is going to have 12 more sons with that same DNA. Can't get along with anybody. We've got a second family with six more sons that have also been sent to the Middle East. And so it's like we have these people exploding over here. So Abraham died, and then Ishmael died, but not before he had 12 sons. And his sons settled near Egypt, eastward to Shur, in the direction of Assyria. That's where his people settled. In Genesis 25:18, it says the Ishmaelites didn't get along with any of their kin, just as God told Hagar would be the case. So we'll flip back over and talk about Isaac and Rebekah just a little bit, because Isaac is Ishmael's brother and the son of promise. Now he's married to Rebekah, and they have twin boys, Esau and Jacob. And Esau was born first. Jacob came out second, but he's holding on to the heel of Esau. But this gave Esau the birthright because he came out first, even though it was just minutes before. He came out first, so he gets the birthright. But he foolishly, you know the story when they're teenagers, he foolishly trades his birthright with Jacob for a bowl of soup.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Jacob has the birthright. So the blessing passed from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. Both Isaac and Jacob were second sons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's significant. So that's significant in the family, could cause some dissension just in the family. And I'm sure there's more significance than that, but that's as deep as my brain and study went on that. But anyway, Jacob grew up and he married Rachel. And he also had 12 sons. And God also changed his name from Jacob to Israel. So here's our tie back to the promise of Abraham to modern day Israel and even Old Testament Israel. These are the grandsons of, or great-grandsons of Abraham, these 12 sons of Israel. So the 12 tribes, and each one became their own tribe. So the 12 tribes of Israel, they are the great-grandsons of Abraham, and we just read how that covenant goes on and on and on from generation to generation to generation. All of your descendants will, I will be the God of all your descendants. So here are, these are God's children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so imperative. They grew up, they lived in the land that God gave Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
They settled in Israel. All 12 tribes were scattered out across Israel. And including Gaza, including the Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians now reside.
Mm-hmm.
So most, if not all, of the other Arabs are descendants of Abraham's other sons and grandsons and children. Now think about, I mean, just think about that. Like I have always had a lot in church. There's been a lot of teaching about Isaac and the 12 tribes, and we've zoned in on that and kind of just glossed over mm-hmm. the other children.
Right.
But the other children, they're the ancestors of all those other Middle Eastern countries, which is a whole lot more land than little Israel. I think that's crazy. It's like, I mean, you would think in the natural, like, they won the lottery. They got the whole thing. They just, you know, Jacob's kids, Israel's kids, just got this little narrow strip over here by the Mediterranean, you know. And so, but remember, God told Hagar that Ishmael would always be stirring up trouble. And basically, he's not going to get along with anybody. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to stop and pray?
It's a good time.
Yeah. We got all the kids' births. I think we can stop and pray.
I need a prayer break if I had 12 kids.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or even 6.
Especially if I birthed 12 of them, I'd have. Okay. We do have several prayer requests this morning. The Black Shears are in family court this morning in Nebraska. Pray for favor in the courtroom and that the kids will be able to come home and safe travel back. And then let's pray for Amy Valdez. She has a child. Her family owns the Monterey Mexican restaurant in Burns Flat, and they've been closed pretty much Monday Tuesday, and I'm not sure if they're going to open today because they have a child in OU, Children's in Oklahoma City. We don't know details, just that they've been closed due to having a child in the hospital up there.
Okay.
And then my cousin Tamara Morris asked for prayers for her son, Zach Morris. For some reason, just pain. And it was, he was crying in pain, and that's not like him.
Oh.
And then pray for a prayer request from Texas. Amy in Texas asked us, we were asked to pray for her son, Riker, who has been missing now for 2 weeks. And he's like 25 years old. And they have not, they did a missing persons report, and they have no leads, no clues, no nothing on this. And then yesterday on my way home from Bible study, I was going through Burns Flat, heading to Dale City, and I had to turn around because they had the roadblock from one end to the other. All I could see was red and blues. Come to find out, there was a person that was hit by a vehicle, and they did not make it.
Aww.
And then let's pray for another family. There was someone, I don't know the details, I just know that there was a person that passed away yesterday in Burns Flat due to an overdose.
Oh.
And they had small children.
Oh.
So I'm assuming it was a woman who overdosed. So let's take all those to the Lord.
All right. Precious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We come before the throne with these needs, and we thank you. Thank you that we know that you're listening, that you love us, that you care, and that you are interested in meeting these needs, Father. So we lift up to you the Black Shears family. And we ask that you would just give them favor this morning with whoever they need favor with in this court case, and that the kids will be able to come home, and that they will be able have a safe trip back home. Father, we just pray that your presence would be in the middle of that and orchestrate every detail in their favor to bring you glory and honor. And we thank you for it. Father, we pray for Amy Velez and her child that's in the OU Children's Hospital. Father, we pray that you would just touch this child and heal in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for Zach Morris, who's just having this unexplained pain. I pray for healing, for wisdom, for direction, for guidance, for answers, Father. And that this pain would be gone in Jesus' name. I pray for Riker, who is missing for over 2 weeks now. Father, I pray that you would bring him home, that you would give his monsters, and just let your presence engulf her to know that you are taking care of Riker and that you are going to bring him home. And Father, I just pray that you would just provide those answers. Put a hedge of protection around Riker wherever he's at, Father, and just bring him back home to the people who love him and give them peace in this time. I can't even imagine what they're going through or what they're feeling. Father, only you can do that. So just do what only you can do in this situation, Father. And I pray for these two families who lost family members in Burns Flat yesterday. Father, I pray that you would comfort these families. Once again, Father, do what only you can do in this situation. Father, I pray that you would be glorified and lifted up in these situations, that if there are family members who don't know you, that they would lean on you during this time, and that they would surrender their hearts and lives to you, and that they would be strengthened by your love and your power and your grace and your comfort through this time. Your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted, and I know these families are brokenhearted, so I know that you are close. And Father, I just pray that you would let them feel your presence, And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. She'll bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We'll be right back.